Sacramento here with our pre-opening commodity market report is Tom Rogers.
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, everybody. The Midwest direct hog markets are called steady to firm today amid buying interest for tomorrow and early next week. Pork packers have wide margins and are trying to operate their plants at or near capacity, according to analysts and livestock dealers. Seasonally larger supplies of slaughter-ready hogs are expected to last throughout the fourth quarter, so packers are geared up to process the animals and keep the pork moving through the distribution pipeline. Peoria's called steady to firm this morning, top price of $44.50. They say demand for tomorrow and early next week might be strong enough to firm the markets. And packers are making money, so they want to keep the plants running full speed. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for yesterday, September 18th, negotiated swine purchases were $13,648. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $60 even to $69 even. The weighted average was $64.83. That was up $1.35 from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $47.12 to $52.70. The weighted average was $50.76. In the West, negotiated swine purchases were $15,871. The base price range was $59 even to $70.75. The weighted average was $67.40. That was down 7 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $47.57 to $53.25. The weighted average was $51.99.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Well, as an indicator as to what may drive the markets today, we can look at the Dow, which is right now up 433 points, just 20 minutes after the opening of trade. We'll get to the overnight trade on the commodity markets, and we'll also get a pre-opening call from Jackie Vakes in a moment. First, to look at our growing areas weather, here's AM 580 meteorologist Scott Oltoff. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you very much. We have a nice, quiet weather. We're going to continue across the most of the Midwest over the next several days, although we'll have some a couple of cold fronts go through, probably one middle of next week, Wednesday, Thursday time frame, could give the northwestern Corn Belt some rainfall and the eastern Corn Belt a little bit less, and then another cold front probably the September 27th to the 30th time frame, another chance for some rainfall there. But that's about it across corn, but not a lot of widespread rainfall expected. Good drying rates, also good harvest weather, I think, and no expected frost and freezes anytime soon as well, which is good news. There's still some corn that needs to mature and a dry out, and we don't need any frost or freeze, and soybeans for that matter as well. In the U.S. Delta Southeast, isolated showers brought anywhere from 600s to a half inch of rain to portions of the northeast Florida and southeastern Georgia Thursday. While other locations in the southeast states were and the Delta were dry, the forecast for the Delta is wetter for today into Saturday, with light rain now moving into much of the region. The remainder of the forecast includes minimal rainfall and net drying for the Delta. In much of the southeastern states, fieldwork will slowly improve over time. A low pressure system still advertised to develop in the western Atlantic Ocean next week, so it may develop into a tropical or subtropical system, bringing rain to eastern Carolinas and Virginia toward the end of next week. But even today, there's a lot of wind across the southeast states and east coast United States. Pressure difference between the high pressure system over the northern New England and a low pressure off the east coast, providing a lot of strong winds and also some rain off the coast. In Argentina, rain is expected in early corn and sunseed producing areas today. Coverage will be 50%, and rain totals will range from a tenth to a half inch, with local amounts up to half inch to 1 inch. The greatest potential will be in the driest areas of northern Cordoba, northwestern Santa Fe, and southern Santiago del Estero, leaving Buenos Aires as one of the driest areas. Follow-up of significance will be extremely important, since a rain event will be likely quite disappointing for some areas. Showers may spit a little moisture in the region during the mid to late next week, but meaning rainfall is not likely again before the end of the month. Rain is still advertised toward the beginning part of October, but it has lost a little of its intensity as the models have been flipping back and forth. Temperatures will cool this weekend, with highs slipping back into the 60s and 70s with a few upper 50s in the far south. But there is some potential for a few 90-degree highs to show up in far northern Argentina late next week and the following weekend. The heat will add stress to winter crops and assure the unirrigated drought areas experience no opportunity for significant planting of corn and sunseed. Irrigated fields may be planted normally as long as water supply is sufficient. Brazil soil moisture is favorable for parts of the nation, which is typical of what this time of year. Northern crop areas are a little bit dry, and slowly improving conditions for rain in parts of the center west and center south Brazil will evolve over the next couple of weeks, with the first wave of rain anticipated from Saturday into Monday, when about half of the crop country will get anywhere from a tenth to three quarters of an inch with a few greater amounts. Another wave of lighter rain will occur late next week and early in the following weekend, with next larger storm system possible in the first few days of October. In the U.S. hard red wheat belt, dry conditions will continue through winter wheat areas today and Saturday. A couple frontal boundaries move through the plains states next week, offering some scattered showers and thunderstorms. The first frontal boundary is slated to occur Sunday into Monday. The second more significant frontal boundary expected to impact the region Tuesday through Thursday. Rainfall of either of these events is not expected to be great, with resulting rainfall amounts rarely exceeding three quarters of an inch. Another opportunity will be some light shower activity occur along the leading edge of some cool air toward the end of next week. Pre-planting field work and early fall seeding should advance normally over the next couple of weeks, despite some scattered showers and thunderstorms off and on. I'm meteorologist Scott Olthoff. That's your growing area's weather.
Thanks, Scott. Let's go to the overnight trade. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 735.5 overnight, up a penny and a quarter. Last traded up 8 3/4. March, 754 3/4 up one. Last trade, 8 3/4 up. December spring wheat in Minneapolis at 767 3/4 up 3 3/4. Last traded up 6. In Chicago, December wheat at 699 on the open, up 6 1/4. Last trade up 10 3/4 cents. March, 717 up 4 1/4. Last trade up 12. July wheat, 739 up a penny and a half. Last traded up 10 1/4. December corn in Chicago at 530 1/4 on the open, up 3. Last traded up 7 3/4. March, it's 547 3/4 up 3 1/2. Last traded up 10 1/2. May corn, 557 up 4 1/2. Last trade up 4 1/2. July, 563 1/4 up 2. Last trade up 3 3/4. November soybeans opened today at 1120 1/2, opened overnight, rather. That was up 4 1/2 on the open. Last traded up 12 1/2 cents. January, 1132 3/4 up 3. Last trade up 10 1/4. March, 1158 up 15 3/4 up 9 3/4. And the May beans at 1161 3/4 up 11 1/2 on the open. Last traded up 15 1/2. October soybean meal, 315 even, up 260. Last traded up 260. December, 315.10, up 130. Last trade up 290. Bean oil for October, 44.47, up 3. Last trade up 62 cents. 45.32 was the open for the December contract, up 42. Last traded up 55. Joining us now, the pre-opening call, is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Tom.
We have a, we talked about on the phone earlier, but about the roller coaster that everybody in the trading floor is on, and not just the trading floor, but all the rest of us, I guess, too. And we're still moving on that roller coaster today, huh?
Well, I think it's exactly right. What we've gotten as a market right now that, due to the outside markets, has become over-emotional, fear-driven, panicky, and anytime you see that type of thing going on, you see this type of trade, you know, up one day, down the next, up one day, down the next. And in a lot of cases, at a time like this, it might be better for a producer to just kind of go about doing what he has to do at this time of year and let it settle itself down.
Any indication as to, you know, when the settling down might happen? I mean, and everybody's looking, you know, people on the commodity floors are looking at the outside markets about the, you know, and what the Fed is going to do and all that.
Well, there's no question about that. I think what it's going to take from a grain standpoint, because we certainly have not been trading the fundamentals of grain at all. We've been trading everything else. Basically, it's going to take either the grain stocks report at the end of this month or probably the October USDA report. One of the things that I see as a concern, and I especially will say this because of this bill that passed the House yesterday to curb speculation, a lot of people are under the assumption that speculation is what causes volatility. Speculation helps control volatility. It brings more people to the market. It keeps the market smoother. And if we start to take the speculator out of the picture, it's just not a good situation.
Well, what is this going to mean for the trading floor today? A lot of calls are opening, you know, calling for a higher opening after yesterday's settlements, and you know, where might it go today if we may see swings on either end just in today alone?
Well, I think we will. When you look at where we are right now, of course, we've got crude up 448. It's at $1.02, definitely higher than we were last week Friday. We've got the dollar trading about 3% lower than last week Friday. Those are certainly positive things. We get the Dow up almost 400. So I think what you're going to see is you're probably going to see the market trade both sides, because you will see some profit taking. The unfortunate part, and for all of our listeners, you know, when you're looking at the market and you see it up strong and then you come back in and you see it down strong, especially if it's close to the end of the day, you've got to recognize the majority of participants are day traders at the moment. And so that makes for much tougher swings. I guess I would go right along with the nighttime calls, corn up 7 to 10, beans up 10 to 15, wheat up 10 to 12. Cattle mix, waiting for cattle on feed report, and that will have some impact on corn too. And basically hogs up pretty steady because of their discount to cash,
right,
as well as the oversold situation.
All right. Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you, Tom. Have a great weekend.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. Checking the outside markets now, the crude oil is trading up $4.51 a barrel. It's up to above $100 now at $102.05 a barrel. The U.S. dollar index is at 78.06, down 13. The CRB index is at 356.45, up 5.43. On Wall Street at the moment, the Dow is moving up. It's up about 384 points right now, about 3.5% up at 11,404. It had been up as high as 450 points. The NASDAQ up 68.5 at 2267, and the S&P up 42.99 at 1249. This is WYLL, 580 AM, 90.9 FM, HD2 and 3, Urbana.